The human brain, an amazingly complex and extraordinary electrical and chemical universe composed of over 200 billion nerve cells, each individual in purpose and unique in function, each interweaving and joining to form an enchanted loom of over a quadrillion connections. The human brain, a 3-pound mass of pinkish-gray tissue that would hardly rate the second glance of a casual observer, yet within its dark furrows, folds, and chambers lies the divine spark of light that gives animated life to the human body and the power of raw, godlike intelligence to the mind. The power that allows man to think, reason, and feel, comprehend, understand, and remember, desire, create, and achieve. The energized substance that enables one to transform thought into action and vision into reality. The human brain is a high-powered optical processor that can quickly retrieve from its depths of memory any chosen amount of the billions of pieces of information that comes in through the eyes and senses during each waking second. In the act of retrieval, it can replay three-dimensionally in the mind's eye all of the vividness, sensory richness, feeling, and emotion associated with the original memory event. This unique ability of the human brain to form rich, emotion-provoking visual images is what separates man from animal. It is this internal light of the mind, this language of the brain, which we call intelligence, creative power, and imagination. 80 years ago, the distinguished British novelist Joseph Conrad wrote, "The mind of man is capable of anything, because everything is in it, all of the past, as well as all of the future." Today, thanks to a growing body of scientific knowledge, we now know that the brain is not only the storehouse of knowledge, but is literally the key to our success or failure in life. Achieving our goals and our heart's desire is not determined primarily by outside influences, but by our own mind and the images we create and store within it. Some people, of course, have instinctively known this. For example, Henry J. Kaiser, one of the world's most successful industrialists, first attained every one of his business successes in his vivid imagination, long before they became a reality. The basic laws that govern modern physics, and that are the very foundation of our world's technological developments, were first visualized in the mind of an uneducated 16-year-old boy, who imagined himself riding on a beam of light as it traveled through space at 186,000 miles per second. This young man, Albert Einstein, later clothed his sensory impressions of that imaginary ride through space in mathematical terms, formulating the theory of relativity. Wolfgang Mozart, one of the world's great composers, saw, heard, and felt each masterpiece in his mind before it was composed on paper. Michelangelo attributed his genius in sculpture to his ability to first envision in raw marble a detailed, three-dimensional image of the work he had first conceived in his mind. History is replete with examples of great achievers who equated their power of success with their ability to first formulate in their mind's eye an intensely vivid, sensory-detailed image of that which they desired to create, possess, and achieve. Everything that man has ever accomplished and achieved, every great work, every discovery, first existed in someone's mind in the form of a vivid image. Every act, every deed that has enabled man to progress and motivated him to excel and achieve was first born three-dimensionally in the mind. Not only do mental images exert influence over man's creative self, they also have tremendous power over his body. Our bodies react to mental images in ways similar to how they react to images from the outside, concrete world. Edmund Jacobson, an American physiologist, has shown that if you can graphically picture yourself running, for example, feeling the strain of the muscles in your legs, feeling the blood rushing through your body to energize and nourish it, sensing your heart rate accelerating to maximum capacity, that during this imagery exercise alone, the muscles in your body will actually undergo subtle but measurable contractions comparable to the changes that occur during actual physical running. In the same way, if you can vividly imagine yourself biting into a large, ripe, juicy, sour lemon, sensing the juice squirting over your tongue and cheeks, and cringing at its bitter, unpleasant taste, you will literally begin to salivate. Or by creating the vision of a vicious, rabid, jaw-clenching pit bull dog chasing you, barking ferociously, and finally tearing at your clothes as it overtakes you, your blood pressure and heart rate will increase, and you may begin to perspire and break out with goosebumps on your arms. Recently, research has shown that people can have extraordinary control over the parts of their body whose functions were previously thought to be under involuntary control. Yoga masters have demonstrated the ability to raise their heart rates from 80 to over 300 beats per minute, as well as raise their body temperature to instantaneously melt ice with a touch of a hand. Their ability to accomplish such feats were shown to be made up of vivid, sensory-enriched visualization. Many medical doctors have adapted the visualization technique for their disease-afflicted patients, having them picture themselves as healthy, disease-free individuals. These doctors often guide their patients into imagining that their white blood cells are white knights, attacking and destroying their diseases and malignancies. One cancer doctor has his patients visualize their cancer as chopped up hamburger meat and their white blood cells as dogs devouring and destroying the hamburger. The doctors who incorporate these visualization techniques into their daily practice routine have reported incredible results with their patients, results that defy traditional medical statistics. Images held intently in the mind can literally affect every cell in the human body. Besides affecting our bodies, imagery has power over our lives, affecting our attitudes, how people react to us, and the opportunities made available for us to achieve our hopes and aspirations. Have you ever noticed that when you wake up with a cheerful disposition, with a positive attitude toward yourself and high expectations of the coming day, that your sensory impressions actually manifest themselves in the external world? People you meet seem to be more cheerful and happy, or become so in your presence. Events that draw your attention seem to be positive, or you tend to see something positive in them. A person who is sensitive to this cause-and-effect relationship feels intuitively that, almost like magic, any pure image that he can hold in his mind will eventually manifest itself into a physical, concrete reality. The effects may extend beyond day-to-day events into the future. For example, a person who has held in his mind a vivid image of a dream house in the countryside, he can see, hear, touch, taste, smell, and sense emotionally, in exquisite details, all of the elements associated with the country house. This person may find that through no conscious effort of his own, that such an opportunity to acquire the home avails itself to him. And many of the characteristics of his new country environment correspond to the image he held originally in the past. Taking visualization and its power one step further, physicists have begun to study body energy and its effects on the world outside of the body. Numerous experiments have been conducted that clearly illustrate that visual images, embellished with the rich sensory detail of sound, touch, taste, smell, and fired with emotion, can produce measurable energy that directly affects objects in the physical world. The researchers also found that if the images were vague, lacking in detail and feeling, they possessed no power to impact upon matter. An ancient biblical scripture writer spoke a profound truth when he wrote, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Positive and wishful thinking, artificial hype, and external motivation alone will not produce the power to change your internal and external world. Only thinking in your heart, heartfelt, sensory-inspired, three-dimensional visualization is the key to your power. If you can think in your heart, allowing yourself to make full contact with every one of your personal and professional aspirations, seeing them, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling them, and sensing the strong emotions that accompany their ultimate fulfillment, you will burn them indelibly into your brain and nervous system and create a force internally and in the external world for their realization. The richer and more intense your dreams become, the better your chances for success. If an image we hold in our mind ultimately expresses itself in concrete reality, then each of us possesses the power of creation, the power to make of our lives that which we desire, the power to create a personal inner and outer world that is rich in purpose and content, a world that is laced with achievement and success. Vivid, sensory-rich visualization is the mechanism of this creation. The ability to translate one's hopes and aspirations into sensory-rich images is the cutting edge that separates the high achiever from the mundane, average, run-of-the-mill person. Ask the high achiever to describe to you his goals, triumphs, and successes. He will paint for you, with his words, a three-dimensional picture of his past, present, and future. Through his description, you feel as if you were there with him as he describes to you in rich detail the glory of his life's victories, and he inspires you to want to be there with him for tomorrow's battles. His sensory-rich images have always been the source of his inner drive and motivation, and when he reaches his goals, their realization seems to merely echo a reality that has already existed three-dimensionally in his mind. By contrast, ask the average underachiever to describe to you his successes. He can only recite to you a sensory-rich, detail-by-detail, blow-by-blow account of his failures and give you three-dimensional excuses as to why he failed. The underachiever uses the power of visualization negatively. His fears, anxieties, worries, and anger are embodied and weighted with strong sensory impressions because it is much easier for him to concretely picture and prelive their eventual outcome. Ask the underachiever to explain to you his goals, hopes, and aspirations, and his mental canvas turns to a vague, unorganized collage of meaningless scribbles. Such a task of positive sensing is nearly impossible for the underachiever, who so keenly senses and fears failure. The act of visualization and the resultant power that the image possesses to influence one's body, mind, and environment has mystified and intrigued mystics, philosophers, and poets throughout history. For thousands of years, man has yearned to know what it is that enables him to see, with his eyes closed, the same detailed images that reflect the reality he perceives with his eyes open. What is it that enables you, for example, as you now listen to this audio cassette tape, to easily see yourself sitting in front of a warm fireplace on a cold winter's evening, or going to your bedroom, walking over to your bed, and turning back the covers? In a quick instant, you can then be behind the wheel of your car, caught up in rush hour traffic. Then, in another moment, you can be in your office, talking on the telephone, or in the produce section of a supermarket, scanning over rows of fresh fruits and vegetables. What is it that allowed you to transport yourself back through time, to move yourself freely from image to image, from scene to scene, to recreate any part of your life's experience as the appropriate words triggered the memory flow? What is this inner vision? What is the strange chemistry that ferments inside the brain which allows us to see with our mind's eye? And what energy force is it that transforms a vivid image held in our imaginations into concrete reality? No other personal success program has ever attempted to answer or even address these critical questions. In the neuropsychology of achievement, we will, for the first time, give you a complete understanding behind the phenomenon of visualization, how and why it occurs in the brain and nervous system, and from where it draws its tremendous powers. Through advances in the brain sciences, physics, and mathematics, the age-old phenomenon of visualization can be easily explained and simply understood. Armed with this knowledge, you will have power. You'll have the power to take full control of your life and have greater control of the circumstances around you. With this knowledge, you'll be able to harness the same powers of body and mind that have inspired and guided all of the world's great achievers to high levels of personal and professional achievement. While many self-improvement programs tell you how you ought to be, but stop short of guiding you through the peaks and valleys of the long-term self-actualization process, the neuropsychology of achievement program will take you through every step in the process. In effect, this program begins where others stop. ensuring you that you'll learn to successfully utilize all of the new scientific breakthroughs that it incorporates. Drawing upon universities and research centers from New York to California, we have analyzed, synthesized, and consolidated the information from countless numbers of studies and have created the most sophisticated approach yet that will help you achieve every one of your worthwhile personal and professional goals. As you learn through this program to maximize your mind's potential, the positive results are likely to both surprise and delight you. Now let's dig into the meat of the program by answering the questions regarding visualization. What is visualization? How is a visual image formed in the mind? And from where do visual images generate their power to affect matter and to transform themselves into concrete reality? The answers to these questions lie in gaining an understanding of the nature of the brain. In man's attempt to understand the brain, there has been a tendency to model the brain on the latest technology. During the latter half of the 19th century, for example, the brain was supposed to resemble a steam engine, with instincts that built up pressures and release valves that relieved them. In the early 20th century, the brain was compared to a telephone switchboard. Following the Second World War, brain functioning was modeled on a cybernetic guidance and control system with servo mechanisms and feedback loops. When digital computers became popular, the brain became an information processing system whose inputs and outputs were controlled by one computer and then later by two computers. The computer-like brain was built upon logic and possessed memory storage and access to that memory. All of these models for viewing the nature of the brain shed significant light on our understanding of brain function, but they all fell exceedingly short in explaining the most basic phenomenon of the brain's ability to store billions upon billions of visual images in its memory, and its ability to recreate those images in their full visual and sensory detail within the mind's eye. Is there such a model that we can draw from technology that will help us explain these unique powers of the brain, the puzzle of visualization that has inspired mystics for thousands of years and has eluded scientists for nearly as long? Dr. Carl Prebram, a distinguished Stanford University neurosurgeon psychologist, is one of the most respected brain researchers in the world, who is often referred to as the Einstein of the brain sciences. Dr. Prebram has proposed that the hologram, a three-dimensional image projected into space, recreated from interference patterns of laser light, provides the long-sought-after model of how visual and sensory information is received, distributed, stored, and recalled by the brain. Not only does the hologram provide us with a new, meaningful metaphor to help us understand the age-old mysteries of the brain, Dr. Prebram also believes that there is enough laboratory evidence available to demonstrate a physiological, biological, and mathematical basis for the model. Or in other words, the theory of the holographic brain is supported by hardcore scientific evidence. Before we go into any further detail on the nature of the holographic brain and how it provides us with the answers to the mysteries of visualization, it is important for you to first gain a basic understanding of what a hologram is, how it works, and to learn about some of its fascinating characteristics. Then, after you have acquired a simple understanding of holographic theory, you'll learn how and why the hologram is the perfect technological model for understanding the complex human brain. And then finally, once you're armed with this knowledge, we'll together begin to explain, unfold, and understand the mysteries of the human brain. If you have never seen a holographic image, it at first may be difficult to visualize exactly what it is and how it looks through only a verbal explanation. But with some simple explanation mixed with imagination, you'll be able to picture accurately in your mind's eye what a hologram looks like. So as I explain, close your eyes for a moment and follow along with me in your imagination. Pretend that you are sitting in a dark room in your house, quietly reflecting upon a peaceful subject. As you gaze ahead into the dark ether of the room, an apparition or a ghost-like image suddenly appears, suspended in midair, a few feet before your eyes. For a moment, you think you're hallucinating, thinking perhaps you shouldn't have eaten those wild mushrooms you picked earlier that evening from your yard. As you look closer, you see that the apparition is in the image of your wife. If you're a woman, pretend it's your husband. This is ridiculous, you think. This certainly couldn't be your wife because she is visiting at her mother's for 3 days. But she appears so real, so well-defined, that you reach out to touch her. As you reach out with your hand, you feel nothing. Your hand passes right through her image. Perplexed, you walk around this three-dimensional image and discover that you can view it from all sides and from top to bottom. Then, in a near state of panic, you hear coming from the back of the room the imp-like, mocking laugh of your spouse. Suddenly, the lights in the room flash on, dissolving the ghost-like image. Then, as you slowly gain your composure and look around the room, you see your full-bodied, real-life wife standing in the doorway, laughing hysterically at your reaction to the sudden appearance of her ghostly image. Then she explains to you that instead of going to her mother's, she went upstate to the university for a 2-day course in holography. And as a part of the course, the teacher created her holographic image on a film plate, and she thought it would be a good practical joke to come home a day sooner than you expected and to scare the daylights out of you by projecting her holographic image. Okay, now go ahead and open your eyes. In our imaginary example, the lifelike three-dimensional image you saw suspended before you in space is what a holographic image really looks like. In holography, the image of a subject literally cannot be distinguished from the real and material three-dimensional object. How is a holographic image recorded, stored, and played back? The method of holography is basically a two-step process, very much like photography. In photography, if you want to reproduce an image of an apple, for example, the apple would first be illuminated by natural light or a flash gun. A portion of the light that illuminated the apple is reflected off of the apple and toward the camera. This reflected light passes through the camera where the image of the apple is focused onto a light-sensitive film. The film is then developed with a chemical process that allows the image to emerge on the film. The resultant photograph is two-dimensional. In contrast to photography, if you were to take a holographic image of an apple, you would need, besides the apple, what we call in holography the object, the following materials: a source of laser light, a laser beam splitter, a mirror, and a photographic plate. To record the image of the apple holographically, the following events would occur. First, you would turn on your laser. This produces a red, pencil-thin beam of light. The light would be aimed at the beam splitter, a half-silvered mirror that is resting in front of the laser. This beam splitter divides the beam into two separate beams. One beam is aimed straight ahead at the apple. This beam is called the object beam. As this beam of red, pencil-thin light hits the apple interferes with the straight projection of the beam. This interference causes the beam to be broken up into wave-like patterns, much like the wave pattern that is created when you drop a pebble into a pond. These waves of light then travel from the apple toward the film plate. Your second beam of light, called the reference beam, is aimed at a mirror that is angled toward the film plate. The light from this second beam is deflected off of the mirror and travels toward the film plate. Before the object beam, the beam bouncing off the apple, and the reference beam, the deflected off the mirror, reach the film plate, they collide with each other. This collision of the two beams of light creates wave-like interference patterns. This collision creates an effect similar to dropping two pebbles into a pond, creating concentric circles or waves that radiate out of each pebble. When the two sets of waves run into each other, they form an interference pattern. Where the crest of the waves meet, they make a wave that is twice as high. If a wave meets a trough, the two will cancel each other out to form a flat patch. If two troughs meet, they will make a deep trough. When two laser beams meet, they produce an interference pattern of light and dark. This interference pattern is recorded on the film plate. The film is then developed using normal photographic chemicals. In ordinary light, the developed film plate looks uniformly a silvery gray. Looking at the film plate, you cannot see the image of the apple, but only a barely visible complex of swirling wave patterns of gray and white. The key to reproducing the three-dimensional image of the apple is the reference beam. The process of holographic reproduction is like solving an algebraic equation. If you aim the reference beam at the developed film plate at the same angle as the original reference beam, it is possible to solve the equation. To crack the code of swirling gray and white bands and reconstruct the original image of the apple. By shining the reference beam through the recorded interference patterns on the film, the waveforms will unravel themselves into a three-dimensional image suspended in space, an image that can be viewed and studied from different angles. If you are not familiar with holography, and this is the first time you have ever heard an explanation of what a hologram is and how it is produced, at this point, you might be a little confused, but don't dismay. To make this process as clear as possible, open up your Neuropsychology of Achievement study guide to the first module titled Your Holographic Brain, The Power of Three-Dimensional Visualization, and refer to the illustration How a Hologram Works as I go through the explanation once again. I'll pause here for a moment while you locate the illustration. Okay, ready? A laser is the purest source of light available. It is of a single wavelength and color. To produce a hologram, a beam of laser light emanating from a laser source is divided by a beam splitter into two separate beams. One of these beams, the object beam, travels in a straight line to the object, in this case an apple, which it illuminates, bounces off of, and travels toward an undeveloped light-sensitive film plate. The other beam, the reference beam, is aimed at a mirror angled toward the film plate, deflected off the mirror, and continues on toward the film plate as well. Before reaching the film plate, the two beams, the object beam and the reference beam, collide with each other. This collision creates wave-like interference patterns, and it is these swirling patterns that are recorded on the film plate. The film plate is then developed using normal photographic chemicals. Looking at the developed film plate, the naked eye barely perceives the unintelligible swirling gray and white interference patterns created by the collision of the object and reference beams of laser light. To reconstruct a three-dimensional image of the apple, the object, all that needs to be done is to direct a second reference beam at the developed film plate that is at the same angle as the first reference beam. Once illuminated with the reference beam, the once silvery gray film blossoms forth an image into space, a three-dimensional image of the apple that cannot be distinguished from the real and material three-dimensional object. It is important to note that the holographic image is not seen on the film plate itself, but is projected from the film plate into space. And the holographic image you see is real. It is composed of electromagnetic energy and is the byproduct of an electrical and chemical reaction. If you were to compare your photograph and hologram of an apple and cut your photograph in half, you would have half an image of an apple. Cut your hologram in half, and you will still see an image of a whole apple. Cut your hologram into 100 pieces, 1,000 fragments, and more, and shine a reference beam through one of the fragments, and you will get an intact image, though slightly more blurred than the original. You can scratch, stain, or mutilate the surface of holographic film and still not harm its ability to project a full three-dimensional image. The image on the hologram is distributed over the entire film plate and is nearly indestructible. When these unique properties of the hologram first became known, brain scientists such as Dr. Carl Prebram saw a strikingly similar parallel between the hologram and the brain. Neurological research has long confirmed that severe brain injuries either destroy in total all of stored memory or none of it, leaving it all intact. For example, if a person has a stroke and half of his brain is destroyed, he doesn't come home and recognize only half of his family. He either remembers all or none of them. There is no relationship between how much tissue is damaged in the brain and how much memory is lost. Research has shown that if 98% of the brain is destroyed, that the remaining 2% of the nerve fibers can retain the whole system's memory function. The brain is amazingly redundant. Neuroscientists then concluded that memory is distributed throughout the brain, just as the holographic image is spread over the entire surface of the film plate. Other similarities arose linking the brain and the hologram. For example, the similarity of the brain and hologram for their ability to store tremendous amounts of information. A single holographic plate can receive and record many different images if it is rotated so that a reference beam strikes it at varying angles. 1 cubic centimeter of a holographic film plate can store over 10 billion bits of visual information. The only known system for storing information more complex and sophisticated than the hologram is the human brain. And the final and most astounding similarity is the ability of both the hologram and the brain to reconstruct from their stored memory three-dimensional images, visual images that are electrochemical representations of reality. Now, after years of research and following a great number of studies, scientists have concluded that the hologram is the long-sought-after model of how information from our life's experience is received, integrated, stored, and visually played back within the brain. Human memory is stored or encoded holographically in electrical and chemical patterns distributed throughout the brain and is recalled or decoded sensorially in sight, sound, taste, smell, and emotion when the proper electrochemical stimuli triggers the memory. If this sounds confusing, let me explain. How many times have memories long stored in your brain and seemingly forgotten suddenly become activated by a smell, taste, sound, or other sensory stimulus? For example, have you ever walked past a bakery and have the delicious smell of freshly baked bread instantly revive memories and sensory impressions that haven't been thought of in decades, perhaps provoking visions of the oven where your mother baked bread when you were a small child? How eagerly you used to spread butter and jam over the warm slices, and how you would savor every bite, allowing your taste buds to fully enjoy the experience. This smell also brought back the emotions of security, warmth, and nostalgia that were associated with your early years at home. Then, as a result of these awakening memories, a whole new set of sensory impressions were projected clearly before your eyes, made easily accessible for total recall. Or you may have experienced the effect of hearing an old song on the radio, a song you haven't heard for years. What kind of memory and emotion suddenly wells up inside of you as a result of this sensory stimulus? Watching an old movie or television show, looking at old photographs, a unique taste or texture felt by the hand can also serve as sensory reference beams to activate your holographically stored memories. How precisely does the brain act as a holographic processor? As we go about our daily activities, as we simultaneously experience the richness of sight, sound, taste, smell, touch, and emotion that every conscious moment affords, our senses beam literally thousands of impulses to our brain every second. As light and images come in through the eyes, they are translated into nerve impulses, creating waveforms that travel to the brain. As sound waves enter the ear, the auditory nerve translates the waves into electrical signals that also flow to the brain in waveforms. Receptors in our skin pick up the impressions of hard and soft, hot and cold, and transform those impressions into electrical impulses that travel to the brain. Receptors in the taste buds and in the upper nose become activated by a chemical taste or smell and then transfer their impressions via the nervous system to the brain. Our internal reaction to the sum total of these simultaneous sensory events impinging upon our nervous system and the brain we call emotion. Emotion also carries its own waveform. Just as the physical hologram has its object beam and reference beam, the brain and nervous system has its equivalent object and reference beams. Since sight is our richest sense, we perceive about 95% of our object reality through our eyes. The images which come in through our eyes serve as the object beam in our holographic brain. The remaining senses of sound, touch, smell, taste, plus emotion serve as our internal hologram's reference beams. Like the laser in the hologram, these impulses travel through the nervous system from the senses to the brain via nerve pathways, the object beam passing through the eye, the reference beams through the remaining senses. Every nerve branches, and when the electrical message goes down the branches, a ripple or wave front is formed. When other wave fronts come to the same location from other directions, the wave fronts intersect and set up interference patterns similar in effect to the interference patterns created by the collision of object and reference beams in the hologram. The effect of this meeting is somewhat like the meeting of the ripples that would form in a pond if six pebbles, each one representing each of the five senses plus emotion, were thrown in at the same time. The sum total of all of the interference patterns are distributed and stored throughout the brain, the film plate for our organic hologram. As in the physical hologram, to reconstruct the mental holographic image, a reference beam that was associated with the object beam must become activated. Activating any of the other senses that were associated with the experience you are trying to mentally recreate will trigger the three-dimensional visual image in the mind. So think back for a moment to the bakery we mentioned earlier and recall the smell that triggered the many images in your mind. We now know that a single stimulus, like a scent, can resonate throughout your brain's holographically stored memories and serve as a reference beam that can trigger and reconstruct vivid images of related experiences. One other scientific breakthrough fits into this entire pattern, and it comes to us from the world of quantum physics. Researchers now tell us that if we break down the universe in which we live into its most basic building blocks, reducing concrete objects to atoms, atoms to protons, neutrons, electrons, and then even to more basic particles, we will find that all matter is ultimately composed of electromagnetic waveforms, each possessing a unique frequency and a unique vibration. The concentration of these waveforms are the building blocks for atoms. Atoms are the building blocks for matter and concrete things. Even though we perceive the world as concrete things, it is actually composed of a much more refined and basic system. Even so, our minds come to interpret these waveforms as real, concrete entities. If our senses were tuned to respond and to resonate to a higher frequency of energy, we would probably be able to consciously perceive these waveforms. But since we are sensitive to only the energy found in the colors ranging from red to violet, we see the world through our conscious experience as objects. Of all the electromagnetic energy that surrounds us, we experience on the conscious level less than a billionth of what is going on around us. As in holography, the image you see is not on the film plate, but projected three-dimensionally in space. So it is with the brain. The images we see through visualization are really not in the brain, but are a byproduct of the brain's electrical and chemical reactions, an image that is suspended three-dimensionally in space. Though others cannot see your mental projections, they exist in reality. They are real. They are composed of electromagnetic waveforms that possess energy and matter. In essence, according to the laws of quantum physics, your visual images are matter. The sharper the visualized image, the more it has been imbued with sensory detail and emotion, the greater electrical force it will generate, and the more it will mimic concrete reality. Given this understanding, we can begin to conceptualize why visualization is such a powerful force over the mind and body. Whatever vivid images we create of ourselves in our mind, they will be interpreted by our nervous system as real, because in reality, those images are real. If we can truly imagine ourselves as successful, healthy, and happy high achievers, pre-living that life in our mind's eye in rich multi-sensory detail, the images we create will become a nervous system blueprint for success. The images will be received by the nervous system as if they were already a concrete reality. A law in physics, more precisely a principle called the law of electromagnetic energy, tells us one other important truth. Whenever we create an electrical energy field, we simultaneously produce a magnetic field, an attraction force. Thus, there is now a scientific basis for the age-old belief that which we vividly imagine will be attracted to us. This is the law that gives sensory-rich three-dimensional visualization the power to affect reality. Whatever we sense with purpose, power, and emotion, we will create a strong electromagnetic field that will begin to attract forces in the outside world to us. By sensing life as productive, happy, and healthy, and by activating the power of the three-dimensional image that specifically details those ideal conditions, you will actually create the opportunities around you to make your vivid hopes, dreams, and aspirations a conscious, concrete reality. On the contrary, by dwelling on your fears, frustrations, and failures, you will attract those things to you that are of similar quality. Literally, our holographic brain and the power of three-dimensional visualization makes each and every one of us self-fulfilling prophets. We become and create that which we choose to visualize. From the beginning of this module, we have come a long way. You have been introduced to many new concepts and ideas. It might be difficult for you to grasp all of this new knowledge and information the first time through. And don't be frustrated if you can't remember everything that was said. The beauty of an audio cassette program is that you can play back the information as many times as is necessary to fully understand and comprehend the information. Your study guide will also assist you in mastering this material. In summary, here are the principles we discussed in this first module. First, you learn that the phenomenon of visualization and its power to influence body, mind, and matter has been a mystery to man since the beginning of time. Second, you learn that through recent discoveries and breakthroughs in brain sciences, physics, and mathematics, that it is now possible to explain and understand how and why visualization occurs in the brain and nervous system, and why it has such tremendous power over our internal and external lives. Third, you learn that the hologram, a three-dimensional image recreated from the interfering patterns of laser light, provides the long-sought-after model of how information is received, distributed, stored, and visually recreated in the brain. Fourth, you learn that the visual images we generate are projected from the brain, that every visual image is composed of electromagnetic energy and consists of matter. Vividness and sensory detail increases the energy and power of the visualized image. In essence, what we visualize is real, and our bodies and mind interpret our visual images as reality and reacts to them accordingly. And finally, you learn that our visual images produce a magnetic field that attracts to us those things that we vividly sense and visualize. This attraction force is what gives us the power to control our lives and our environment for either success or failure. In Module 2, you will discover more fascinating insights into your holographic brain and nervous system. You will learn that it is possible to input sensory-rich, achievement-oriented goals into your holographic brain and have access to their positive effects through prescribed patterns of eye movements.